Welcome to Monday Lockdown Podcast. Today, Monday, the 11th of May, and the day after Boris's update. I'm sure you're all familiar with that and obviously understanding and the message coming out of there. So stay alert, and definitely stay alert for the next hour, just over an hour or so. We have a couple of interviews coming up that we recorded about a month ago when the lockdown started. They were live shows, but we thought we'd bring them back and do some highlights for you. So for the first half hour, it would up first is Jack Redoni and Anthony Wordsworth, in which Jack discusses his celebrations for goals in training. He likes taking penalties and celebrating, and how he can't wait to celebrate his first professional goal for Wimbledon. And also Anthony Wordsworth describes his habit of scoring goals against former sides and possibly enjoying the celebrations a little bit too much. In the second half, we have, just after about 37 minutes in, if you're not interested, how dare you not be interested in Jack Redoni and Anthony Wordsworth, but about 37 minutes in, we're joined by Callum Riley and Joe Pigott. Again, probably about a month ago, we spoke to them. They both spoke about their love for Gillingham and their love for the ground. I'm sure you can understand their feelings on that. And also, Joe talks about the goals in the second half of last season and the team's mindset going into those final games of the season. So sit back, stay alert, and enjoy the interviews.
So sorry about that, everyone. You've had to sit through that song. Now, I thought maybe I was just being harsh because I'm over 50, but the YouTube comments section has gone nuts with absolutely hammering that choice of music that Jack chose. Sorry, Jack. It's your choice, mate. I mean, it's good. Jack went to see Lil Baby in concert. When was this?
Near the start of the season, I think.
Was it?
Can't really remember, but yeah.
Did you go with other players or by yourself?
Yeah, I saw a few players there. I had Thrill and believe he was there.
They're a lot.
Yeah.
You're 18, you can get away with this kind of stuff. Anyway, so let's move on from your music choice. Anthony Wordsworth joins us live and direct from... So, Anthony, can we ask what town you're currently in? Oh, has he gone again? Anthony? Anthony Wordsworth, we've lost him again.
Oh, dear.
This isn't going very well, is it?
No.
Okay, so Anthony's gone. He's left the meeting. He's not part of it. So, can someone message him? This is going really badly, isn't it? Okay, so... While we get Anthony Wordsworth back into the meeting, he's now walking outside, he's under a bridge. Wish you could see this, it's great.
Sorry.
Yes.
No, he's good, he's back.
Are you back?
Sorry, my signal's a little bit bad at the moment.
That's fine.
There we go.
This is everyone, Anthony Wordsworth, and midfield player number 40. Whereabouts are you, Anthony, in the world? Whereabouts in the world, in terms of town?
I am at the moment, I'm at my mum and dad's house in Enfield.
So Anthony's in Enfield. Jack, where are you?
I'm in Cheam.
Cheam? You're a Cheam boy?
Yeah, I live in Cheam now.
There you go. I was born in Cheam. I didn't know you were a Cheam person in the year. This is how exciting. We're getting to know each other very well. So let's talk briefly about what you two guys have been up to, obviously, in this enforced break. So, Anthony, how are you keeping fit? I was wondering whether Chris, our new sports guru, has given you completely different sort of fitness regimes to the other players because you think you'll come back from injury, whether Jack you have the same things or whether the keepers have the same kind of fitness regime to keep themselves sort of ticking over. We don't know how long this break's going to go on for. So what have you been to keep fit?
To be honest, we've all got the same fitness program at the moment. So for myself, although I have been injured, I was training for the last 3 or 4 weeks before we actually come away from football, so we're all actually on this app where they track everything we're doing, which is a bit of a nightmare if you don't want to do it. But everyone, yeah, being tracked on this app called Strava, so Chris is fully aware of what everyone's up to, and everyone's, to be fair, been doing all their work.
But can you, as well, he can keep track of everyone, can you keep track of everyone as well, or is it just him?
Yeah, there's a group on there so we can all see what each other are doing. Although I have to admit that when I was on the train last week, I put my record on and it and it says I've done a 45,000 mile swim. But I think Chris figured that one out all by himself.
Oh, I like that. just the imagine that coming up thing. Oh my God, no wonder he's injured. He's like he's all your muscles swimming across the channel 12 times. Jack, what's name is a couple of things. Because I'm not saying none of us are unfit, but we're nowhere near as fit as you guys, obviously. So what are you up to? As a teenager, you broke into the first team. Football stopped for the first time since 1939. It's incredibly unlucky from your point of view. But what are you doing in the course of a day?
Yeah, like Woody said, we have the app where we get tracked and we do all the running. But done some indoor exercises and like some programs that some friends that I know have put on. And before like goals and places. First, I was going to do some sessions there, like trying to keep sharp and stuff. So that's what I've been doing.
Okay. So, Anthony, I can ask you a question. This has bugged me since we signed you. The fact that the word Wood does not appear in your surname and your nickname is Woody, how is it not Wordy or Words? How are you called Woody? This just drives me nuts.
Yeah, well, this is how it started. When I was in the youth team at Colchester, we had a manager called Joe Dunn.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, sorry. Joe Dunn, the former Colchester midfielder. Yeah, he played for Cambridge, didn't he?
He did, yeah. He was my youth team manager at Colchester United.
Ah.
Everyone did call me Wordy because he had an Irish accent. He used to say Woody, and it's literally stuck from then.
Do you know, I was really hoping it was going to be something quite bizarre. But it's that was quite nice. But at least with Jack, your nickname's obvious. It's kind of trivial, but it just worried me briefly. So, what do you two miss the most about?
To be honest, I think just the football banner. Football banner is different to the normal type of banner you have with your friends or your family. Although I'm 31 years old, when I'm in the building, I feel like an 18-year-old just because of the way football players are doing silly things and stuff. Some of the stuff I do at football, I can't quite get away with my own friends. They don't quite find it quite so funny.
Fine. Okay, Jack?
Yeah, like Woody said, the football banner is good. I miss Pigs, Wags and Woody with their banter, but no, it's good. And obviously just the football in general, just the training and the ups and downs, but it's all part of it.
So how do you cope being 18? How do you cope with the banter is one of my least favourite words. How do you cope with the banter of people like Woody and I presume Scott Wagstaff? And there's some players out there who've got a bit of character. How do you put up? Because I'd imagine they pick on you a little bit. Not because just because you're young and you're the first team, you come in bright eyed to this first team environment, and then here you are with Peter who's played 400 league games.
Yeah, I'd probably say they give it to me a bit, but I think I take it through. I know it's all banter and stuff, but I enjoy it to be fair. But that's one of the parts I love about it. I love the team, like, because it's a good bunch of lads. We all get on, and the banter's top class, to be fair.
I don't think Rudy understood that you don't like the word banter. He used it twice after that.
It's just a personal thing. It's just people now misunderstand, because that footballers having a go at each other and being kind of like, you know, unpleasant but friendly at the same time to each other is banter. That's what banter is. People have misunderstood.
I'm sorry, isn't it bants now? It's like short, isn't it?
Bants.
just calling someone in the street something unpleasant is not banter. That's being rude.
Well, it's sick enough.
Your teammates having a go at each other is here's a question, boy. What do you miss least? So I'm going to say, all right, here's two questions. Who do you miss the most? I've done what? Who do you miss the most in terms of players? What do you miss the least? Can't ask you who you miss the least.
I miss the least. Definitely
what do you miss?
The food.
The food?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Does everyone else know? Is this just a personal thing? Or is this like a player-wide or squad-wide?
I think I can speak for a few, but yeah. But it's not my favourite.
Okay. Interesting. Note for the Well, I think note for next season, whatever next season is, maybe we can improve the food for the players. Woody, what do you reckon then? What do you miss the least about not training?
Probably the train journey, getting to training every day. I catch 3 different trains. That's a bit of a headache, especially with all the trains being jam-packed every day. It's been nice.
You don't drive?
I do drive, but if I drive to training, it takes me, I've got to go around the M25, and it just takes too long even to get out of where I live. So I get the train every day. So 3 different trains every day, which...
Great.
And,
that explains the swimming.
Exactly.
I was going to say, so is Jack obviously doesn't like the food. Is the food that bad then, would he?
Well, I'm quite friendly with the chef, Martin, so I'm not going to comment on that.
That's where you're going wrong, Jack. See, Woody's getting all the best stuff.
Yes, sir.
No, we're not going to. Obviously, we're not going to ask you, Reed. Are you Essex based, Woody?
No. I live in Ware, in Hertfordshire.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, that's a fair old track, isn't it? I think people don't realise that. Now, when Danny Kedwell left us in 2011, people were heartbroken that he'd left the club because he was such a big hero for us. Then he said the reason why he wanted to leave, because he lived in Gillingham and would have to leave so early every morning to get to New Malden by 10:30 or the time he start. He was never able to take his kid to school. And once his child started school, he wanted to be able to take his child to school like everybody else does. You think, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I know Andy Bartram was in the same boat. I know he lived quite far away, and he was getting up at like 5:30 every day, and the journey for him was a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah, I think is he Kent as well?
He actually lives in somewhere near Southend.
Oh, does he?
He lives that way, yeah. And he was driving in every day with Joe Pigott, Pinnock, and Quesian. He had to get up early to meet them, so he had to go over the bridge. Some days he couldn't even get in at all. I know he turned up for the Carling Cup game against West Ham at half time, which that was quite funny.
Now we know something. That's why he didn't play, because we've got, what's March not playing? Oh, okay.
Yeah, he turned up at half time because of the traffic.
I think we've got some questions coming in. Sorry.
Go for it. You just don't realise all these people are human. Footballers are human beings with human things. And they want to take their kids to school and they get stuck in traffic. People just forget that. But Nick says, do you come into Berrylands Station? Go through Berrylands Station.
I come through Berryland, or if I sometimes get on the early train and get off in Malden and walk to the training ground.
There you go. So Nick lives right by Berryland Station, so next time, give him a wave.
Holly.
Should we play this game? Why don't we play game number one? Ready?
Yeah.
Jack Whitehall or Jack Wilshere?
Jack Wilshere.
Maths or English?
Maths.
Peppa Pig or Ben 10?
Ben 10.
Natalie Sawyer or Kirsty Gallagher?
Don't have a clue. Let's go for Kirsty.
Okay. Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, wrong. Cheryl Cole or Kimberly Wyatt?
Cheryl Cole's the only one I know.
Okay. Should we sack George, yes or no?
Nah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm 3 in a row.
VAR, yes or no?
No.
Kingsmeadow or Plough Lane?
Plough Lane.
Should we practice social distancing forever, yes or no?
No.
Luton or Watford?
Watford.
If and when you are making tea, do you put the bag first or the milk first?
Bag first.
Good answer. So it's, right. Nick, are you happy with those answers from Jack there?
No.
He's not happy with those. No. He's asking a bad question. The Luton and Watford. I think you're wrong with the pineapple on pizza because that's... Okay. Right. So you're not aware of Kirsty Gallagher?
That's good. The name, but I can't...
He's gonna Google it after this radio show.
He's not wasting his time. He's being a footballer and keeping himself to himself. I like it. Good.
Although she's old now, though, isn't she? Well, she's getting older.
42.
Aren't we all? 42.
I know, that's what I thought when I first said it. I was saying that. I saw. Did anyone see Cal Vaughan Did I see Carol Vorderman on TV this week?
Yes.
Amazing. A lot of work done, but amazing.
I don't know how... Well, she says she hasn't had no work done, but there's...
Never. Never.
So, there's a construction sign under her top that tells you who's actually done the work. it says Bovis, I think, anyway. Well, Buckingham Group has done the upper part of her torso. Anyway, but she's 60 years old, so Carol Williams. So
right. Yeah.
Okay. Anthony Wordsworth, are you ready for these 10 questions?
I am, yes.
Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1. Anthony Crawler or Anthony Costa?
Anthony Crawler.
Maths or English?
Maths.
Eurovision or Eurotrash?
Eurovision.
Natalie Sawyer or Kirsty Gallagher?
I say both.
Yep.
Natalie Sawyer.
Correct answer. Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
No.
Also correct. Cheryl Cole or Nicole Scherzinger?
Nicole Scherzinger.
Should we sack George, yes or no?
No.
Four in a row, well done, George. VAR, yes or no?
No.
Here's my favourite question. Southend Pier or Colchester Zoo?
Colchester Zoo.
Should we practice social distancing forever, yes or no?
No.
Luton or Watford?
Luton.
And the final question, Nick is very happy now, the final question, when you're making tea, do you put the bag first or the milk first?
Bag first.
Excellent answer. Nick is very happy. Nick, put your top back on. We're not, it's not that sort of thing. Nick is stripping off and running around his bedroom, which you can see from Berryland Station, so do watch out if you're excited again. So that was great. So thanks for that. Natalie Sawyer is the right answer to virtually every question. So do we have any more listener/viewer? You shouldn't be a viewer because what are you watching? Listener questions for our lovely players.
Let's have a look here. So one of the questions here, can you ask what went down? This is from Dan P. Can you ask what went down with Waggy at Gillingham to trigger his passionate celebrations at the last game?
I wasn't there, to be honest, but Rudy can answer this one.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. He just, from the morning, he was just, from the day before even, he was just buzzing to, he was just really wanted to win, like. You could just see, like, he just changed. He just wanted that win so badly. And I think just his emotions came out after the game or in the game. And yeah.
Because it's strange. He was really pumped up for that game. Especially when the winning goal went in. I thought he'd scored the winning goal by the way he's running around.
One thing I would say is when you do play against your old club, especially when it's ended a little bit sour, how it did for him, you always want to go and win, especially on at their own ground as well. So.
The talent
to score, and Waggy and Luke O'Neill to also be involved. All three of them were obviously really delighted with that win.
Can I jump in on that then?
Yeah.
You had a bit of a Twitter, not a spat is the wrong word, but a conversation with some guy on Twitter who was a Southend fan, who was like, why are you celebrating? And you replied back, I thought it was the most diplomatic answer anyone could have ever given, to be honest with you, because I would have just told him where to go. But, did you have that kind of feeling as well? Because obviously then you left Southend a bit of a unfortunate circumstances, so that win last season was certainly one thing that pumped you up.
Yeah, definitely. Especially the 1-0 when Pig scored. That one meant a lot more to me, because the way I left was quite bad, really. Chris Powell came in. I'd been offered a new contract and was about to sign it. Chris Powell come in and said we'd sort it out at the end of the season, and then when the end of the season come, he sort of didn't even speak to me at all. So for me personally, that win meant a lot, just because I had a point to prove it to him. Although I got along with their fans really, really well, I wasn't actually doing it to wind the fans up. It was just a personal thing with Chris Powell. Yeah.
Because that's funny with Scott Westhoff and that Gillingham fan there last month. The Gillingham fans were singing his name for most of that game. It's kind of it's strange, because you think, well, what's gone on? Clearly something's gone on, but it's not with the fans, because they seem to love him. They didn't boo Luke O'Neill. They didn't boo Pete. So we've got quite a few players who have played for both sides. You never know how these things end. I mean, it's difficult to say. How many transfers out of 10 players that you know How many of them have left the club on really good terms where it's just been contract ends, someone comes in, better offer, move up, versus they leave on terms that they're not happy with? Is it 50-50?
I'm not sure. It's hard because for when a player, when they want to stay at the club and they think they've done well enough to stay there, and then the manager obviously has a different opinion. But with Waggy's case, I think he was a little bit disappointed more so with maybe, I think, some of the way the Gillingham players were acting towards him, if I remember him saying something like that. I think a few of the players might have been having a bit of getting into his ear a little bit. I think his anger was directed towards the players.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. So, when you left Colchester to go to Southend, was that the way to leave a club? It was the right way to do it, yeah, that you were happy with?
I left Colchester to go to Ipswich, yeah. I left on good terms.
Of course, sorry, Ipswich, yes, of course.
Yeah, I left on good terms, but obviously I'm leaving Colchester to go to one of Colchester's, well, Colchester's seen them as a rival, whereas Ipswich, their rival's Norwich. They don't really see Colchester as a rival, so I got a little bit of stick from some fans, and we went back there to play in a pre-season friendly, and I got a bit of stick. And then, obviously, I left Ipswich to go to their other rival, Southend, so now I'm completely hated.
You've only ever played season wear blue.
Stu and I just sort of think the same question. One ask, I'll leave it up to Stu to quickly put it down.
Well, yeah, I'm just going through. Another question from Dan P. So is this your Anthony or Woody? Has he ever had a less successful goal celebration, i.e. a knee slide, than the one at Rochdale last season?
You know, I nearly pulled my back out. There was a joint come out of my back there. Seriously, I remember I actually come off in that game.
And that was what? Come off.
Yeah, I was struggling. My back was killing me. But obviously, at the time, I didn't realise how I'd done it, but looking at the celebration afterwards, I think that might have been how I'd done it.
That was some jolt when the ground went hard and your knee came out. That was quite a jolt, like I'd been in a car crash.
If you watch that clip again and just watch JJ, Jake Jervis, he just starts cracking up.
Ah. Oh, yes, so
is that your worst celebration, or do you had any other than that?
Oh, to be honest, I've had some bad ones. I remember when that mannequin challenge came out, Soccer AM pulled me up on something wrong. I'm celebrating. I just tried to join in, but I got it completely wrong.
Does anyone ever have a preset? So do you in your head have a preset celebration? So you do weigh in with goals. Do you have a celebration that you think, because I remember when Bayo was at the club, Bayo went through a stage of having preset celebrations, you know, obviously as a forward. Do you have a preset celebration, or do the players ever do the celebrations in training and stuff like that?
Sometimes I think I want to do that. I think Rudy's always taking penalties and celebrating and training. I don't know. What do you do, Rudy?
Me? I've got a lot of different ones. Just need to score
come
first.
On. You've
got to
just do the Alan Shearer one hand in the air running.
Yeah.
No, I think if I score my first goal, I think I'll forget about the rest. I think my emotion will come out. But, once I get a few, then there'll probably be a few funny ones in there.
Footballers celebrate goals. Don't mind celebrating goals, right? So you've scored a goal for Arsenal against, let's say, Chelsea, and you run to the crowd and you stand there and you do that pose where you fold your arm and nod, okay? That's your celebration. Lovely. What bugs me, really, is other players then join in and do the same thing when they've had no part in the goal. Don't you do that? Well, I hate that. You didn't touch the ball in that move. You scored a penalty. You weren't involved in it. Well, the substitutes run from the dugout. And then they do it. You're not even on the pitch. Why are you doing their celebration? Do your own.
Saying about celebrations. Saying about celebrations, though. Obviously, now we've been playing football, they're going through the old clips. And I was watching the best celebration. Me and Nick had discussed this before, but they did the one where Adebayor scored for Man City against Arsenal at the Etihad. Yeah. And he ran the whole length of the pitch. And it's just the funniest thing ever. To be fair, so much stuff is thrown at Adebayor, I'm surprised nothing hit him. I just wonder what went through his head. The celebration when you score a goal, it's the best feeling in the world, isn't it? In terms of scoring a goal, what just goes through your head? Is it just a mix, or like just go and celebrate with the fans, or just do whatever comes into your head first?
With scoring a goal is the best feeling in the world, and when I say the 10 seconds after scoring a goal, you actually go quite blank. You don't really hear anything or see anything. It's a bit mad. But going back to what you said about Adebayor, I'm a big, massive Arsenal fan, and when he done that at the time, I was obviously fuming. But when I played for Southend against Colchester and I scored in the derby, all game I was getting abuse. And when I did score, I'd done something quite similar. And after the game, I thought, why did I do that? That was so stupid. Like, you shouldn't have done that. But in the heat of the moment, you just, all you're hearing is you're getting abused all game, and then you score a winner in the 88th minute. My mind just went blank, and I'd done the same thing, to be honest.
Can I quickly ask, who do you support?
Chelsea.
Okay.
Well, that went quiet.
Oh, dear. Okay. I guess someone has.
Just saying about, you were saying, sorry, I'm just going to say very, very quickly. You know, you're talking about abuse that you were getting and stuff like that. Does that really, does it, you know, you're saying it goes blank, but does that ever get you? Because I remember last season, I'm trying to think now, Lyle Taylor playing for Charlton, comeback, got the abuse from quite a few of my friends, to be fair, and stand behind a goal. And we all knew Lyle, you know, would play on that. Does it really fire you up if someone's getting you on your back? Yeah. Do you feel it gives you that, or do you do things? You know, sometimes when you're up against it, you do things that you shouldn't be doing. Like, you know, you mind go blank. Does it really fire you up if you're getting abuse against you?
Yeah. To be honest, I don't take it to heart. I did actually find it quite funny. And if I hadn't have scored, I probably would have laughed it off. But I thought I'm going to try and make the most of this moment now to give it a little bit back to them. But yeah, no, it don't really upset me. I find it funny. I quite like it, to be honest.
What's your favourite game that you've ever played in?
My debut, Bristol Rovers away. Yeah. I think that was the best day of my life so far. Just first start and getting a win as well, just in the fashion, 1-0 behind just before half time, and then to get 2 in the second half, it was just a perfect day.
Oh, did you celebrate like you had part to do with all the goals?
Probably.
What about you?
I'd say probably the Rochdale game for Wimbledon last season, just because of, I think that was a turning point in our season.
Yeah.
After that game, I think we really started to believe that we could actually get out of the mess we was in, and I think that game was massive. Just after the game, the coach journey home, that was the point I knew I felt we had a really good chance of getting out of it.
Now, a couple of people on Twitter have been talking about, a couple of the players have been talking about that team talk that happened. Prod and ask what that team talk was?
I can't tell you exactly how it went. There was a lot of swearing.
I don't mean exactly. No, don't worry about the swearing.
It involved Terrell Thomas. Wally's going to give him a call in 2028. That's all I can say.
Okay.
Oh, that's cryptic.
That's very cryptic.
Well, let's find out. One day we'll find out what that was.
Right, can we move on to the Paul Osu game?
Yes.
If we can. I'm going to give you the names of 5 players that this either current or former Wimbledon player has played with in his career. In no particular order, I'll give them to you. And can you try and work out who this player is?
This is just right. For Jack and Anthony, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just for Jack and Anthony and Woody. Oh. Right. In no particular order, this player has played with Callum Riley, Carly Osborne, James Hansen, Jason Newell, and Marek Cech.
Who was the last player?
Marek Cech.
The Czech goalkeeper who was, I'm not going to tell you what clubs he played for, but he was Nick Woodner.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Who's Callum played for? Callum played. Someone who's played for Bury.
Oh, Barry.
You reckon? Okay.
Is it J.O.? No, Jason Yule. The Jason Yule shouts killed me.
player did play with Jason York, yes.
Okay.
Which clubs did Jason York play for? Any ideas? Kevin's itching to answer this. I know he is.
I am, but I'm not going to. I'm not involved. Not for me. I'm keeping quiet.
All right. Shall I go on to which managers? Ooh, maybe. But let's go into managers.
Yeah.
He has played under Steve Lovell and Russell Slade.
So Steve Lovell and
Russell Slade.
Russell Slade. Okay. But Steve Lovell hasn't managed that many clubs, but he did manage a club that we've just been talking about.
Yeah.
Near to where your in-laws live, Mark.
Yeah.
Russell Slade's managed loads of clubs, Notts County, Scarborough.
He's been everywhere, hasn't he?
William.
Yeovil,
Bradford. Was he Brighton manager? He wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Rudy's gone quiet. Rudy, you on Google? Yeah.
Is Rudy cheating?
We can see. Don't forget, we can see, and he's not. We can see his shoulders. He's either working on the world's largest computer, or he's not touching anything.
I will give the final clue.
Give us a clue.
Final clue.
Okay.
If you get it, you get it.
I'm going to type it to Mark and see if I'm right. This is the
he supports Leeds United.
Waggy.
Well done, Jack.
Yeah.
Right. So he played with Jason Yule at Charlton in 2011.
Yeah. Oh, of course he did.
He played in Leighton Orient with Marek Sech in 2012. He played Bristol City, Harley Osborne, Gillingham, Callum Riley, and at Wimbledon with James Hansen.
I didn't know he'd play for Orient.
Yeah, no,
I don't
see
it.
Wow.
So I was miles off it there. I was thinking of ex-players, sorry.
That's all right. Well, that was entertaining.
Oh, well done.
Well done, Jack.
I was just going to say, Kev, one quick question before I totally forget about it. This is, Robbo basically asked this one. Who's done the best initiation?
Well, Robbo will tell you that.
He's done the best one. He said there's a quality one.
I like Chris's. Chris the fitness coach.
Yeah.
His was good.
Yeah, Woody's right. Chris was kind of had a decent voice.
So apparently Tyrell's saying it's actually 9 posts, Jack. He says you're lying. I don't know how you get 9 poached eggs. And just very quickly, Mark Jones is saying, does Woody know the words and Wagstaff chant? Can the players pick them up, or are they too busy?
Yeah, I do know that one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, what's your favourite chant? Do you have favourites at all?
Yeah, I like Callum Bye.
Ah, quality.
Whoever made that up deserves a medal. That's it. I remember actually being on the pitch here and there. It made me laugh.
The first time I heard that was Ipswich away. That was very funny. And then, it's Backstreet Boys, isn't it?
Yeah. That's the one, Backstreet Boys.
The Ipswich fans congratulate us on the way out of that one. Your team's rubbish, but we like your song.
Do you know the words to a champagne song at all? You heard that?
How's it go?
Oh, hang on.
Oh, I couldn't possibly sing it. But
come on.
You couldn't possibly sing full stop.
You know our champagne song. Have you heard it? Most original one.
Probably know it. If I knew how it goes.
It starts, we drink. It starts, we drink a champagne, we snort cocaine.
Yeah.
I've not heard that one, to be honest.
Have you not? Okay, we'll make sure that's...
We've got one more in our lives. You've got bus stops, second-hand shops, and your mum's in Reader's Wife, is how that works. We drink Campari, we drive Ferraris, we've got...
Wombles in our life.
Oh, yeah, so the other one's we've got ladies everywhere. Yeah, that's right. There we go. There's a lot of fans don't like that. It is kind of... sexist and talks about drinking alcohol.
Misogynistic and 1980s, but it's absolutely gorgeous.
It's before.
They did try and ban it at one point, didn't they?
They did. There was really? A thing around saying, a lot of people were saying a song from the 1980s, but hey, we like football from the 1980s. So, hey. Are you saying we should change the name to Nine Eggs Podcast? Nine Eggs Podcast.
Yeah.
Right. In that case, I think we've come to the end of our lovely section with Anthony Wordsworth and Jack Madoni. Says, gentlemen, thank you very much indeed for your time. I realize you've got other stuff to do, protein bars to eat and FIFA game to play. Jack's not far off her bedtime, sorry to say that. I was told I had to say that. I apologize. Anthony and Jack, thank you very much for your time. Cheers, guys.
No problem. No worries.
We'll see you we'll see you in
2022.
See you in the new ground. Cheers, guys.
So, hope you enjoyed those interviews from Jack Madoni and Anthony Wordsworth. And just obviously as Kevin was coming in there, we just played some music from Jack Madoni, as we did on live shows, and he got slaughtered heavily by our listeners on the day. Next up, Callum Riley and Joe Biggott, and like I say, they discussed their love for Gillingham and Priestfield's ground, what got Waggy upset during that game, and the last part of the season. So again, I hope you enjoyed the first part. This is the second, about another half an hour, and like I say, stay alert. Stay safe and enjoy the last part of the interviews.
Okay, everyone, welcome back. We have been joined by Callum Riley and Joe Piggott, who are both on the line, and we're going to speak to them both and ask them a few questions. And please keep sending your questions in on the YouTube live feed.
You've been down to a stadium, haven't you? Did you go down to a stadium, Callum?
I haven't been down, though. A few of the lads have been.
What's your thoughts on the stadium? Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm interested to go down there myself at some point and see it. But with everything going on, I don't think I'll be able to get down there until it's probably actually done, unfortunately. Yeah. But yeah, no, I am looking forward to obviously getting down there and then playing in it myself. As and when that's going to be, it's a bit difficult to obviously see when it is. But it's exciting for everyone around.
But Callum, Joe, talking about goals, did you know that you two are in fact the last goal scorers in AFC Wimbledon history as it stands, and possibly if life never returns to normal, possibly the last ever Wimbledon goal scorers ever. Callum, do you want to talk us through the winning goal at Gillingham, which I'm guessing was a very sweet moment for you?
Firstly, that's a scary thought as well, thinking hopefully it won't be, and hopefully we'll be back at some point in the near future. But yeah, no, it was a good day. I mean, we played really well on the actual day itself, and we felt like we deserved to get the win. I mean, we were still quite confident up until the point where they equalised that we were going to get something from the game. So it was just happy that it fell to me at the time and got it. I mean, I was looking to do the full pitch celebration, but got jumped on by the boys and was unable to do it. But no, it was a good moment, and it was a big win for us.
Yeah, I mean, Gillingham, we do actually have a pretty good record at, and we won the season before. Joe, you were the match winner season before last, in the same end, I think, as well. You must have is it a ground you particularly like playing out, or is it just one of those things where you get against certain teams, you always seem to score?
No, it's a bit of a dump, to be honest, but somewhere the last few seasons I've played there twice and won both games and scored both games, so hopefully it continues. But yeah, we had a great win there this season and last season, so hopefully we can keep it up.
This is the point where I just quickly say that my wife comes from Gillingham, so.
Oh, okay, really?
yeah,
you can understand. You can understand my comment then.
I had to live there for over a year. It's a long way from home for me. Yeah.
You must be well versed in it. I mean, it's not. We always seem to say it's a good number of fans down there. It's not the most glamorous of away days. But on that subject, Callum, where would you say it's the best and worst stadiums you've played at?
I mean, this season especially, Accrington was probably up there just because of the day itself. It was freezing and wind was everywhere, and obviously just being in the stadium it is, made for a pretty bad day all round. So I'd definitely say this season's probably there.
Mm-hmm. Joe, worst?
I think that's got to be it, to be honest.
Okay, yeah. I've tried
erasing that one from my mind, but
yeah,
that one.
What about the best stadium you've been at this year?
I'm going to say Fratton Park, just because it's probably not the best stadium, but best atmosphere.
No, I agree with that. I love playing there just because it's an old ground and the fans are so close to you there. It's probably my favourite place to play in the league.
I mean, we've had this conversation on the podcast in the past. We've talked about nice stadiums such as Rotherham, for example, beautiful stadium, modern new stadium, but doesn't sort of have the atmosphere that these old school grounds have. You know, some of the classic football venues such as Kenilworth Road, for example. We were talking about this one earlier, actually, on Twitter today. Last season, we did the Great Escape. This season, it wouldn't have been the Great Escape, but I think we were all pretty confident of surviving the drop. But a particularly memorable moment last season was the point away at Luton when you actually scored our first equaliser. Did you feel after that second equaliser, Steve Seddon in injury time, did you feel like that was the moment where we'd sealed safety, or could you feel like it was going to happen after that moment?
I mean, to be honest, we at the stage we got to, sort of 10 points adrift, we sort of had a element of fearlessness about us, and we knew that if we picked up a few results that, you know, we could gather some momentum, but we didn't. The pressure was totally off us at that stage. And after we obviously got a few results, and what the point at Luton being absolutely massive after, you know, the instances in the game. Well, not really instances, but just, you know, Rambo playing the way he did and us staying in the draw, really. You know, that really gave us, you know, a significant amount of hope. And obviously we took that on and completed an absolutely amazing achievement, really.
Yeah, with your goals against Wickham a few days later, the 3 points that really did take us over the line.
Yeah, no, that was a pretty ugly game, but that was a huge 3 points.
It's interesting what you were saying about in terms of no pressure, because obviously when you're 10 points adrift at one point, we were. Is it easy? You always hear that, you know, play one game at a time, you know, not get too carried away in that. How easy is that to do? You know, did you ever look at a league table and think, oh, if we get a point here and stuff like that, did that get to you? Because you're playing with no pressure, but when you start getting the wind and you start creeping back in, did that pressure start to increase on yourselves?
No, not really. For me, it didn't. Yeah, it's a bit cliche, but, you know, taking each game as it comes. We didn't really look far ahead at all, really, thinking about it. And we just took that sort of feel good factor and that momentum that we had, and that sort of built up after every game in that period, and that's ultimately what got us over the line, I think.
And just very quickly, Cannon, obviously you weren't part of that, but did you think we were dead and buried? And did that even sort of encourage you to come and play for us?
We played Wimbledon, I think it was around March time, I think it was, at King's Meadows, and we actually won the game. And but in the first half, Wimbledon absolutely battered us, and it could have been 2 or 3 goals up in the game. I think it was only for a mistake from the goalkeeper at the time. I think it was Ramsdale goal. Might be Ramsdale in time. It was a mistake by him, and obviously heard from the lads since how good he was. So it was a rare mistake, and we won the game. But I thought at the time after that, I thought sometimes things like swing momentum wise, and I thought maybe after the game, I thought maybe they might struggle after it. But then I think you had a game maybe on Tuesday or Saturday. You went back on another winning run straight after it. So I was quite impressed looking from afar. Obviously I knew Waggy as well still. So. Boys were in contact with him at Gillingham and speaking to him all the time, and I knew that obviously the boys were building momentum and they were quite confident of getting over the line. And then sometimes when you just see them things happening from afar, you think, how the hell is that happening? But it was impressive to see, And obviously, thankfully, for my sake, coming here this year, they were able to do that.
I mean, yeah, Callum, as you say, you joined in the summer. You became the latest in a long line of players that have crossed the divide from Gillingham to Wimbledon down the years. It's been incredible, the amount of players that have gone, as well, played for both. I think Barry Fullers and Josh Parkers and Luke O'Neill's and everyone. How do you evaluate your form then since you joined us? We've got a message on YouTube from Mark Jones who has actually said that you get his Player of the Year vote. Said always decent, but last couple of months added a lot more consistency and a player that we noticed most when not in the side. I'm going to echo, people are going to think I'm sucking up here because I said this to Terrell Thomas the other day, but we're talking into having discussions with Player of the Year votes and stuff like that. And you're definitely, we've got two of you on today that we'd be in the running for that, no doubt. How would you evaluate your form since you joined us in the summer?
Yeah, no doubt. Like everyone else we did in the squad, I'm sure would say similar things. At the start of the season, it was tough going for everyone. Obviously, the team that's not picking up the results, they felt like in some games we deserved or some games we weren't good enough at all in. And it's really difficult to make sure that you're at the level that you want to be at or you think you can achieve. And then all I can say is, since before Christmas and the turn of the year, we felt we've had real momentum, especially at home. We feel really confident when we play there. And then we've started to, in recent times, started to obviously take that into away games. I mean, we obviously reflect on a group thing. I've never really overly looked at too much regarding what I've done myself. I've just tried to do the best I could possibly for the team. And I felt it was periods at the start of the season that I just wasn't getting them breaks. Maybe I wasn't being as confident for a goal, or maybe it was maybe just bedding into being in a new environment with new lads. And maybe that just sometimes that just takes its toll. We've got a lot of young boys here as well that we obviously they're all brilliant players, and they just need to take a little bit of time, a few games to get themselves into. And I think we're just trying to see, we're seeing that coming to fruition now at home, especially they're all flourishing, playing in front of their own fans, and I'm really enjoying my football at the moment.
How do you find coming in? So obviously you come into Glenn's played a 3-5-2, or he's mixed around with it, but predominantly he's played sort of three centre halves and sort of swapped the midfield out. How have you adapted to that? Because from what I was seeing, you know, you could definitely see the qualities that you had, but it was also, you know, you had different partners, and it was trying to find, obviously, sometimes you'd have three in the central area and trying to find who's going to do what roles. How have you found it? And is it, for me, what I was noticing, that from sort of probably January, the formation and style of play was starting to get better in terms of people who were understanding what their roles were and how you could influence that. Is that something you work a lot on in terms of patterns of play and formation in training?
Yeah, we have, to be fair. We've been working on a lot of that. We've been working on our on what we do, what our options are when we've got a ball in individual positions, so everyone has a plan of where they see the ball going and where you need to be on the pitch. If, say, if a left-sided centre-half has the ball, where do I need to be as a midfielder or Pigs as a striker? And if the wing-back has the ball, what do I need to be doing? There's a plan of action for that now. And I'm glad, obviously, that yourselves can see that on the sidelines. You can see that we look like we're obviously working on things, because we have been. In terms of the 3-5-2 formation, before I came here, I hadn't played it in a while. But when I was at Gillingham, we played a diamond formation for basically 2 years. So I was playing left of the diamond there. And I enjoyed the freedom that you get with that. Just the same as we do enjoy the freedom with the 3-5-2. If you have someone sitting beneath you, it gives you the license to get forward, which I've tried to utilise a little bit more in the second half of this season.
What I was going to ask was obviously there's been some instances this season where performances, not by individuals but by the whole team, haven't really hit, you know, the levels of the previous match before. And my understanding, or my view from it, is it comes from a lot of the time where the opposition team are just there to stifle the game. For instance, our last game at Kings Meadow against Bolton. In my perspective, Bolton, they set themselves up just to kill us off, to stop us from playing. And to be fair to them, they did really well at that. Can I ask, except for Bolton, both of you, first Callum and then Joe, who was the opponent that you really, or which team did you really not enjoy playing against this season, in terms of just so that they stopped you from doing what you really wanted to do?
Yeah, as you said, other than the Bolton game, was really tough. I'd say probably one of the toughest games we had this year was Gillingham at home, and then the Wickham game at home, because of the way that Wickham play is a bit different to everyone else at the top of the league. They're still the same sort of team they were last year in terms of being very direct and being physical. and it do stop teams from being able to actually play football. But in recent times, the Bolton game is very tough because even from the start of the game, things were being slowed down. And it was really frustrating because you look at it and you think that they haven't got as too much to play for at the minute. I mean, they're obviously looking from their point of view, they're still picking up points and they're trying to be professional. But it was still very early on when the game was drawing and it was 0-0, and they were still taking time over goal kicks and throw-ins, and it just killed the game, and it was tough for us out there. And unfortunately for us, we couldn't reach the levels that we wanted to.
Yeah, obviously, I think it's a mixture of a few things, to be honest. Since I've been at the club, well, almost just over 2 years now, people have always, seen us as an underdog, really. And when teams have come to King's Meadow, they've still looked to think, oh, we can get the 3 points here. You know, we're playing Wimbledon. And I think teams have got a little bit more respect for us, probably for a number of reasons, because of what we did last year and, the football, I think, and the players that we've got now, I think have improved. I think there are a couple of the reasons. But, yeah, it is a tough one. It's something we really need to... We have looked at when teams come to King's Meadow and sort of get 10 or 11 players behind the ball, that we struggle to break them down. And, this season, it's probably been the one thing that's got in the way of us getting into the mid-table, to be honest. And, once you're there, you can go anywhere, can't you? But, yeah, it's very frustrating for me, just thinking about it now, as to, some of the games that we should have won on paper, and other teams have come down to us and shut us out. And I think another thing as well is that with our squad, we've probably got one of the youngest squads in the country, and the lads, including myself included, not the obvious, but we're learning, we're still improving every week, and having the teams come down and use not tactics but just game plan, tactics and game plans to shut us out, it's all part of the learning curve for all of us, I think.
And for you personally, Joe, how have you found it? Because I think it's been really, from personal point of view, I think it's been really tough on you this season, because we've had quite a lot of injuries, but injuries to probably senior pros as well. And for yourself, you've sort of been ever present up front, but you've had many, many different partners, in terms of Mitch Pinner, Quezzy, Roscoe. How difficult has it been for you? Because from when we've been watching it, it feels like, depending on the partner you have, the different role you have to play. So you're obviously not a target man, anyone that see that, you're not that. But how difficult has it been for you to adapt, because you've had so many different partners that surely must be must be impacting your game?
I definitely think I'm adaptable, but obviously my role does change whenever I play with someone different. That's just about me doing my role for the team, and necessarily poaching goals all the time, sometimes I was last season when I was playing with James Hansen. But yeah, this season I'm sort of, I think I'm adding more to the team this season, even though I'm not scoring goals, is what I think personally. But totally. For example, like playing with Marcus for the first half of the season, my role was, totally different as to when he left. I was the James Hansen, as if it were, that I played with last season. I was sort of doing his role, and not being a target man, but of something of that mould, if you understand what I mean, sort of bringing others into play and letting him be the predator when he could in the box. So,
and Callum, how have you found it in the middle? Because you've had a few different partners as well, haven't you? So, so you had Jack Redoni who's come in there, and Andy Hartigan. For your role, it's a bit different now, isn't it? Because in our fullbacks or wingbacks play really high. One of the things I've noticed that sometimes what happens is that we have a spare man normally marking nobody, but a lot of teams seem to press high, so we go long. And obviously, we don't have a James Hansen we had last year. And Joe's game really is getting in, getting in the box, getting chances, supporting the team. How difficult is it when teams are pressing high for you to have the confidence to play between the lines, or is it a case you've just got to go long and try and work on the percentages?
No, I think it's all about what's the next stage of the development maybe for the team, I think, and possibly that might be something that, other than obviously looking at breaking down teams that come to City, and I think looking at in opportunities where we can play a bit more and take a bit more of a risk. But you've got to understand as well, which the fans obviously do see, is obviously these young boys that are in the team, and you don't want to throw them in and put them in a position where they're going to obviously lose all the confidence in terms of playing. It's easing them into it, and they're showing now, like to Rudy, showing the confidence now. He's now picking it up in areas that he wouldn't have been at the start of when he first played, and picking it up and playing and creating things and showing the same confidence that he would do when he's playing under 18s. He's now doing that in the first team, and you've got the same with Locks of Anthony Arkin, and Max is obviously doing that in his first full season. So it's a case of just development. I think it's all a process, isn't it? And I think it's just what's going to be next for this squad. If we can keep the core squad together, I think it'll just be something that we can obviously move on to.
Yeah, and it's a great point, because on the podcast, early on the season, it was frustrating because we were making mistakes, and you're right, you know, me and Nick, we both come to the conclusion and accepted that we've got kids that are coming in that are making mistakes, but not, obviously no one makes a deliberate mistake. But normally, you know, if you think about Jack Redoni, Paul Osu, they probably would go out on loan to a conference, you know, and learn their trade and make their mistakes in that sort of environment. But actually, they're making, not mistakes, but they're learning on the job. How do you find that in terms of your role? Because you're right, you know, if you give a person a pass that, you know, they're under pressure and it could just, you know, could obviously affect their confidence. How do you, what's your role in terms of you supporting them? Because you've got on really well with Jack Redoni, and to be fair, when he plays alongside you, you can definitely see that you're the sort of, I know you're not old, but the father figure, you know, the sort of looking after him and that.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's more of a role before games. Like, if we're playing with the lads in the midfield with Ant or with Jack, it's just having a conversation with before games in the warm and just keep talking to him. And to be fair to Locks, well, Ant's been playing in the team for a number of years now, so he's mature beyond his age, really, in terms of what he's experienced. So he knows a lot about League One football and how to play anyway. So it's just a case of just kind of reaffirming that and making sure you almost feel like they've got your back, you've got their back in terms of the older players, and Pigs will be the same, and some of the other boys, like Waggy, etc. It's just making sure they know that you've got their back in the pitch when things obviously inevitably do sometimes kick off a little bit. And it's, but they've, as I said, you don't want to talk too much to them as well, because you want to let them just be themselves. And they have started to do that. I've seen some real promise in terms of the young boys coming through. I think the two lads on the left-hand side, Nestor and Paul, have done brilliant in their first year. And obviously them boys in midfield as well, next to me, have both been excellent. And it just holds us in good stead, I think, going forward. But my role, really, other than concentrating and trying to do my best performances, is just making sure that any advice before, or during, or after, they know they obviously can speak to myself and others at any time.
Okay, cheers, guys. We've got a couple of games. Moving on, as we appreciate you giving your time, we don't keep you too long, but we have a couple of games we want to play with you, if that's all right. Which means at this point, I have to hand over to George Jones. This is where it could all go wrong.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So George is going to play our game of what we call Paul Os Who, in which he's going to give you clues to a former or current AFC Wimbledon player. And using the clues, you have to figure out which player George is thinking of. So, George, don't mess it up.
Okay, so the first round is five players this player has played with. And the five clues are Federico Macheda, Connor Washington, Chris Kirkland, John Egan, and Ben Purrington.
Ooh.
Well, it's current or past player.
Current or past.
Oh, damn.
Can you say the next again? Macheda, Kirkland.
Federico Macheda, Connor Washington, Chris Kirkland, John Egan, and Ben Purrington.
Crikey, George.
Yeah, I was thinking that as well.
George,
was what? QPR. Right, keep going. No, I'm trying to get
now.
Johnny is Chef United, but where was George, he before then?
George, will this take us longer to answer it than you did to research it, though?
Hopefully not.
Yeah, it's definitely it's someone from QPR, Connor Washington, Makeda, and
wasn't Connor at Newport as well though? Is that right? That's where he was, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm trying to think. Kirkland would be.
Well, Wigan.
Ah.
George, you've got a second round of clue, haven't you?
Kirkland was Chef Wednesday as well, wasn't
he? George, give us a clue.
Okay, so the second round of clues is two managers he has played under.
Oh, brilliant.
And that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Justin Edinburgh.
Ah, so
I know. I know.
That doesn't help you guys, but I think I know.
George, did I say this not before we started recording? Did I not say this answer before we started recording?
No, I don't think you did.
I'm pretty sure I did, but okay.
Crikey. So he was in Man United youth setup, yeah? And then he ended up at Newport or Orient as well. Is that right?
Or did he play at Cardiff?
Cardiff. Ah, oh, it's Meaty. Yeah.
Not back Cardiff.
Meaty, is it?
No, not Meaty.
Ah. Oh.
I forgot about Cardiff. I guess someone.
Yeah. Did he play Cardiff and Northampton?
Or is it Cardiff and Newport?
Or Newport?
That means yes.
Yeah, that means yes, let's be honest.
Yes it is.
George, you'd be no good at poker, mate. You'd be no good at poker.
Yeah.
Any guesses?
No. You got any more clues?
Any more clues, George?
Yeah. George.
Yeah, the last clue is that you've both played with him, but you didn't both play with him at Wimbledon.
Oh,
that's not who I'm thinking of then.
Oh,
just for clarification, one of you did play with him at Wimbledon as well.
Yes. Yeah. So it's obviously last season. It's obviously Joe. One that Joe played with. So we're looking what a couple of seasons back. Is he a current player, George?
No.
Nice.
I think I know that.
Pressure's on you here, Pigs. He played with him.
well swung.
Oh, you said I did as well, actually.
Yeah.
You have, but
it's definitely a Gillingham connection, isn't it? That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
The Cardiff and Gillingham connection.
Crikey.
Any guesses?
No, honestly, I haven't got a clue. I've not got a clue. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. The only person that I played with that played for Gillingham as well.
Yeah, no, loads of lads have played with Justin Edinburgh, not Solskjaer.
George, one other question. Did Neil Ardley play a part in his player's career at some point?
Yes.
But not at all.
Yes. That's correct.
Okay. I think I might have a go.
Go on.
I think Stu probably got it before me, so I'm going to let him take the honours.
It's Deji Osolaja, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes, correct.
Yay. Well done, Stu.
Oh, God, that's so basic. Oh, my God. How did I get that?
I thought Quezzy initially, because I thought, wasn't Solskjaer at Mold, was that right?
Yeah.
Quezzy was over there?
Yeah.
Was Quezzy over there?
I don't know. I don't know if he overlapped with Solskjaer. Don't think so.
Because when Quezzy came, he was playing in Norwegian League, wasn't he?
Didn't Quezzy play for Stravanger?
Ah, maybe wrong country. Is that wrong country?
I think.
No, it's the same country.
Ah, cool.
Yeah. Didn't mess it up this week. Makes a change. One other game. Callum and Joe, I've got two sets of questions for both of you, for you and you only. Who wants to go first? Callum or Joe?
Callum, it's up to you.
Yeah, I'll go.
Okay. 10 just either or questions. You just have to give me the first answer that pops into your head for any of these,
right? Right, okay.
Okay, so I'll start with Nando's or Pizza Express.
Nando's.
Cycle lanes, yes or no?
No.
Lisa Riley or Rachel Riley?
Rachel Riley.
I do apologize. I realize the spelling's not the same, but they sound the same.
No.
Yeah. Scott Wagstaff's beard or Anthony Wordsworth's moustache?
Got a bit of waggy beard.
Should we sack George, yes or no?
After that question, yes.
Yes, well done.
Yes, after that game, yeah. Well done.
Marmite, yes or no?
No.
Laura Woods or Alex Scott?
Laura Woods.
Luton or Watford?
Oh, do I have to have a favourite out of them two?
Yes, and you have to pick very carefully as well.
I don't know, Watford.
And finally, oh no, two more. VAR, yes or no?
Yes.
And finally, when you make a cup of tea, do you put the milk in the cup first or do you put the bag in the cup first?
Definitely put the bag in first.
Correct answer.
Yeah.
Absolutely, 100%. Thank you very much, Callum. And then, Joe, a list for you.
Yeah.
We'll start with mushy peas, yes or no?
We'll go yes, I don't mind them.
Peppa Pig or Percy Pigs?
Oh,
Percy's, because you can eat them.
Rachel Riley or Susie Dent?
Let's go Rachel.
Mm-hmm. Bacon rolls, red sauce or brown sauce?
Red sauce.
Do you think we should sack George, yes or no?
Yes, in capsules.
Thank you very much. Underlined in bold. Marmite, yes or no?
Yes.
Sky Sports or BT Sports?
Sky.
VAR, yes or no?
I'd say yes, but an adaptable version.
Okay. Luton or Watford?
I'll just say Luton.
Get him. Well done. And finally, when you make a cup of tea, Joe, do you put the bag in the cup first or the milk in the cup first?
Put the bag in.
Correct, 100%. You have both answered that last one correctly, which means you get to stay to play. You get to continue to play for AFC Wimbledon. Unfortunately, the other one, Joe Palmer, would have been on the phone straight away, just to let you know. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, guys. Much appreciated.
No worries.
We hope to see you in a Wimbledon shirt some point this year, hopefully, at Plough Lane. Fingers crossed.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Like I say, I hope you enjoyed all those interviews we did about a couple of months ago. We're back on Wednesday with an interview with Jonathan Meads that we did end of last week. And then we're back again on Friday with our regular weekly podcast with myself and Nick Draper. So, like I say, stay safe, stay alert, and we'll see you on Wednesday.